Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Well, get out your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of Genesis. Chapter 31 this morning, we'll be there. It's page 48 in your chair Bible in front of you if you haven't got a Bible with you. We're going to read out of verses 36 through 42 right quick, getting started. If you're there, say amen. It says, then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so haughtily pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between us both. Then he said, these 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young and have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was in the day. The drought was consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been with you in your house 20 years. I've served you 14 years for two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the Lord, God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you again for your presence, God, this morning. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to dedicate a young child to you this morning. Father, we thank you for all that you've been doing, and we pray now at this particular time of the preaching of the word, Lord, we pray that you would encourage us with your word today, that you would stir our hearts, God. Give us strength, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning we're continuing with our series entitled Called to Produce. If you were in attendance in person or online back in September the 21st, you heard the start of the series as I spoke about the vine and the branches and ended it with John 15:8, speaking of the fact, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, talking about each Christian bearing fruit in our lives. And also using Galatians 5:22 and 23 as an outline of some things or fruits that we should bear as Christians, those things that should be produced in our life. We're familiar with the scripture, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So those are the things that we've been using kind of as an outline of what needs to be in production in our lives. Not only those, there's several things as a Christian that should be produced in our lives as we have been born again and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We should have this production going on. So this morning we're looking at the fruit of long-suffering, or some translations may say patience. In the world we live today, often we think of this fruit as just waiting on something. A check in the mail, having patience for that. Or maybe a doctor's office visit. I know all of us may relate in the fact that your appointment's at 10 and you don't get in there till 11. And so we're saying, oh, God's working on my patience. Or maybe it's like me in a rental line in Florida a few years back when I chose to go the cheap way for a car and saved a lot of money, but I ended up spending 3 to 4 hours in line waiting for that car. And Brother Doyle Jones says, I can't believe you stood there all this time. And I'm thinking, what else can I do? Maybe that's the patience we're talking about. Maybe that's what we look at when we think about patience. I'm just learning to wait. Or maybe it's waiting on the wife as she gets ready. Whoa. Or maybe it's waiting on the guy to come home and eat supper. And we talk about that type of patience, or maybe it's just the microwave's not fast enough in this world that we live in. So when we talk about patience, but the definition of this fruit is really not that type of patience. The word that we're looking at, if you look at patience, means endurance, perseverance, and the ability to wait without becoming angry, annoyed, or upset. It includes the ability to tolerate being hurt or provoked without losing one's temper. Patience is maintaining hope and not giving up in despair. If we look at long-suffering in this text, as my New King James uses the word long-suffering, it talks about this, which speaks of a steadfastness of the soul under provocation. It includes the ideal of forbearance and patient endurance of wrong under ill treatment without anger or thought of revenge. So as you can see, it's more than just waiting on somebody. The word here is something that needs to be produced in our life, and it speaks of that very thing. I believe long-suffering seems to connect better with the passage of Scripture and what God is trying to present to us in this passage. In our passage that we've read this morning, we have an example of many of what it means, or of many examples of what it means to be patient or to be long-suffering as we go through life. As we read the passage with that of Jacob there in the book of Genesis, just give you a little leading up to the story. Jacob had to leave his family because of shifty work and getting his older brother's blessing and also getting his older brother's inheritance. So Jacob had to leave town. In Jacob's life, Esau, his older brother or his twin, threatened to kill him. I mean, that's some family issues. Rebekah came up with a plan to send him to her brothers to find a wife. But really, it was to save his life because Esau was pursuing him. So Jacob goes to Laban, his mother's brothers, and spends 20 years. I'm not talking about a two-month journey or three-month, but Jacob goes for 20 years. I mean, you know, there's a lot of water that can go under the bridge in 20 years. There's a lot of water that can go on the bridge in 10 years, a decade, when we talk about it. And so 20 years, when we say it, is a lot of life. If you live 100 years, 20 years is a great deal on that. But if you live to 70, 20 years takes up a lot of that life. So we're not talking about just a short span here. We're talking about a length of time. Enough time, just put it in perspective, enough time for you to have a kid and for that kid to go to college. And all the life that flows out of that. We're talking about that length of time that Jacob was at Laban's house. And all that can happen in that lifetime. And when we pick up the passage where we started this morning in verse 36 and in the chapter of 31, we find Jacob venting after 20 years. We find that his father-in-law had chased him, caught him because Jacob's on his way back to his homeland and he was accusing him of taking his idols, and they went to search the tents and they couldn't find them. Rachel had hidden them in a place that they could not find them. But at the end of that thing, that's when you hear Jacob saying, "Judge between me and you." We find that at that moment, Jacob said, "I'm done." And so he starts to vent about what's he talking about? He's talking about the 20 years that he's been in Laban's house. The 20 years of life that has passed there and through. We find that he's speaking of that at that particular moment. In that, what he speaks in that verses 36 through 42, he actually reveals some areas that are familiar in our own lives that we must be long-suffering in. He talks about some things that can relate to you and I. I believe the Word of God is always relevant into our lives. I believe that we can learn from the Word of God, and it speaks into our lives. It gives us strength, and it also actually tells us and helps us even in difficult times. So I got three things this morning to point out to you in these next 28 minutes. What are they? Let's look at this first thing. Sometimes it's our family that requires us to be long-suffering. Now this comes at a wonderful time. This comes during the holidays here pretty quick. And sometimes it's our family that requires us to be long-suffering. One person made this statement. Family life teaches you loyalty, patience, understanding, perseverance, and a lot of other things you wouldn't need if you had stayed single. But you learn a lot of things in family. Can I tell you this morning, family can be challenging to say the least. Family can be an area that we find ourselves in need of this fruit that I'm speaking of to be produced in our lives. Jacob had a brother that wanted him dead. That's not a good place. You know, we're not told that when Jacob left his father's house that Esau quit hunting him. We're not told, you know, Jacob had to get up every morning wondering and looking behind him. Is this the day that Esau comes riding over the hill on a camel ready to take my life? There was stress in his life. Why? Because of a family member. Now, whose fault was that? Well, Jacob had a big part in that. I've learned a long time ago that it's not always just one party that's guilty. Sometimes we provoke one another. I know I'm preaching to myself. But we find this moment in Jacob's family. And then to put that on top of everything, Jacob had wife issues. He had problems in his marriage. He's married two sisters that happen to be cousins to him, if you do the research in Scripture. They were constantly mad at each other. His tent was always in turbulence. One would say, hey, I'm going to have a kid. The other one says, I'm going to have a kid. And it was back and forth. And what happened to that? Jacob had a lot of children. Literally, now it wasn't just about the two wives. Now his quiver is full, and he's having to produce everything for these children and all these things. Jacob had some issues at the house. Can I tell you this morning, sometimes we have the issues at the house that require long-suffering. I'm not talking about situations where someone's abusing the wife or beating on her. You need to get out of that situation. I'm not talking about when the Word of God says there's reasons to leave. I'm talking about things that really are not in the Word of God that sometimes we have to be long-suffering with. Jacob was finding this in his house, and he's having that type of tension there constantly. This had gone on, you know, for how many years? In 14 years of those 20 years, Jacob experienced turbulence in his home. That's a long time. A lot of marriages don't make it that long. They were still his wives at the end of the 20. That says long-suffering. I didn't mean it like that. Jacob had in-law troubles. His father-in-law couldn't be trusted and abused him, plus tricked him for 20 years. He has some issues with the in-laws. His brother-in-laws accused him of stealing all his dad's stuff. Right before chapter 31, they said he stolen everything that belongs to our dad. There were some issues with the in-laws. My brother-in-law told me this one time, and I know what he meant by it when he was speaking to me. He says, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And I don't know if he's talking to me or what. But here the in-laws were. Yet Jacob hung in there doing the best he could, even though the circumstances with his father-in-law were not the best in the world. He was long-suffering when it came to the in-laws. He was long-suffering when it came to family members. He was long-suffering. How long? We find for 20 years he did what he could, the best he could, in order to do what would bring the best results. Long-suffering in the midst of the family. Can I tell you, we all have people in our family that require long-suffering. And some of you just thought of one. It may be the wayward child that is not serving God. It may be the wayward child that is addicted to something or this, or maybe they've got hooked on drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Or maybe they're not even serving God. They don't want nothing to do with God. I'm saying today to each one of us in our family, there's no such thing as a family that does not have a member that needs a little bit of long-suffering. I used to think there was, but guess what? I found out that every family's got some problems. Not because I'm a pastor, I've just been watching. I'm saying that's common. It's a common thing to think that I'm going to tell you, the only time we're going to be in a perfect family is when we all get to heaven. Amen? And there'll be no need for long suffering. But while we are on this earth and while we are in these fleshly tents, there's going to be an opportunity to be long suffering with somebody that's in the family. Amen? Somebody that we don't really want to expose, but we know that we must be long-suffering. It may be a spouse that's difficult. It may be the relationship with stepkids. It may be a relationship with the mothers of the stepkids. And it may just be our in-laws. We don't know, but I'm just saying today there are those moments, there's places that there's opportunity to be long-suffering with. That's life. That's the way life goes. And this fruit I'm talking about is talking about that very thing of having this fruit that we're calling long-suffering. This is not just waiting a few moments for something, but this is something that is continuous many times. And it's that where we have to get on our knees and pray and ask God, oh, give me the ability to be long-suffering once again in my life for that person. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, you never know the day that God's going to change them. You never know the day that the Holy Spirit's going to come down upon them and they become somebody new. They become somebody productive in their life. And you never know what's going to happen in their lives. That we remain and have this fruit being produced in our life and be there when that opportunity comes. Amen? Because that's what God wants in our lives, is for us to be long-suffering. You know, sometimes maybe we're the one that requires somebody to be long-suffering toward us. You know, every now and then I take inventory myself and I think, well, I think I'm causing it an issue. Not very often. But we're all there. You know, sometimes we need to be honest with one another. Amen? And realize what we're doing to somebody's life. I know I was a challenge to my mom and dad for some years. And I'm thankful that they were long-suffering in my life. And I almost was going to talk about my brothers, but I'll leave them alone this morning. But we all have been at that moment. You know, there's nothing like a teenager that knows it all. Don't shout me down. But we've all been there, and sometimes we look back and I think, man, what a headache I was to my parents. Thank God they were long-suffering in my life. Because that's the way life is. That's the way family is sometimes. Every family at one time and every Christian at one time or another will require the fruit of long-suffering in our lives for somebody. Listen, long-suffering for a family is not feeding into the issue, but being the rock for the family when the time comes. Sometimes it takes tough love, but also to love them at the same time. That's long-suffering. Something else that I noticed in this passage of Scripture, sometimes it's our workplace that requires us to be long-suffering. Sometimes it's the workplace that we go to. Sometimes it's that place that causes us to have that need. Jacob was abused at the workplace for 20 years. And it was his father-in-law who was the boss. Can I tell you this morning that sometimes the hardest thing to do is work for family? Amen? It requires a total different thing. I worked for my dad for over 24 years, well, probably 20 years. And it was tough at moments. But Jacob was abused at the workplace. Jacob worked with integrity. Listen to this. Have you ever felt like you were doing the best you can and all this and it still doesn't work? What? Well, Jacob worked with integrity. In that passage we read, he did not steal from his boss. It says, even he took care of all the lambs, and if one was to die, he took care of it. He worked in a way that was honest. He worked in a way with integrity. He did not cheat his boss out of anything. That's a good relationship. He sacrificially gave into his workplace. He suffered. He was out there when it was cold. He was out there when there wasn't much rain. He gave everything that he had. Come on, he worked with integrity. He was a good employee. He worked right. You know, it's hard to find good employees today. He served 14 years. 14 years for both daughters. You know what that was? That was wages for his work. He got Leah after he had worked for 7 years. He wasn't working for Leah. But that's who he got. And then the father-in-law comes up and says, hey, for another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. Because Rachel that he loved. You know what he did? Now, he didn't have to wait 7 years for Rachel. Worked out his debt for Rachel. Come on, that speaks of integrity. That speaks of honesty. Had no complaint on the way he was doing his job. That's integrity at the workplace. I believe with all my heart, every Christian should work with integrity wherever they're working at. I believe we should be a witness not only in our home, not only on Sunday morning, but in the places that we call our jobs. And I believe, and I know sometimes it's difficult, but Jacob did all he could to be a good hand. And even out of his father-in-law's mouth, listen what he said. In Genesis 30, verse 27, his father-in-law, the employer, the boss, said this about Jacob. And Laban said to him, please stay. I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. You know what that tells me? His father-in-law knew it was a blessing to have Jacob working. He knew the integrity that Jacob had. He knew that he kept his word. His father-in-law acknowledged, and even at this, and I believe with all my heart, when we are working as people of God in someone's place, that place is blessed because of us. I believe God will rain a blessing down upon a person that will work with integrity, that's saved, bought by the blood of Jesus, that business is blessed because of you. And the father-in-law didn't deny the fact that Jacob was a good hand. Yet his father-in-law cheated him. His father-in-law cheated him where? At the workplace. He changed his wages 10 times. 10 times, what does that mean? That means that Gunner and I have an agreement on how much I'm going to pay him, and when he gets done, I change the amount. And it's always for less. It's not like, hey, I agree with pay you 10, I'm going to pay you $11.50. It's usually $8.50. And this is what he speaks of. We had an agreement, and he changed his wages 10 times, even though he was a good hand. Every time he would make a deal with Jacob, he would change it at the end. This happened for a month, 2 months, a year? No, this happened for 20 years. 20 years this was happening. But Jacob was long-suffering, even though this was taking place. Can I tell you this morning, sometimes we just need to understand that we need to be long-suffering no matter the circumstances taking place, that God is still on our side. And Jacob gives us an example of what I'm talking about this morning, of being fruitful, even in the workplace, to be long-suffering when we're not even treated right. Come on, I don't like to be treated bad. But sometimes we need to understand this is an opportunity to be long-suffering. Every one of us. See, there's some of you here today that find yourself in a difficult environment at work. You're doing the job right. You show up on time. You even give sacrificially at times. You haven't stolen anything, yet you have been passed over for promotions. You haven't got the raise that you thought you should have. But I want to encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Just keep on. Let long-suffering be produced in your life. Hang in there because God's on the way. The Calvary's on the way this morning. He sees what you're going through. Hang in there. Jacob hung in there. Sometimes it's not you that the problem, it's them that is the problem. Be long-suffering. God is about to move on your behalf. Hang in there. See, there's a change in your future just like there was for Jacob as God released him from the land and from the house of Laban. Hang in there, long-suffering. Last thing this morning I want to talk about is sometimes belonging to God's community requires us to be long-suffering. Sometimes belonging to God's community requires us to be long-suffering. Genesis 28:15 said this. Jacob, listen, before I read the scripture, Jacob had just left his home. Why? Because Esau's chasing him. Esau said, I'm going to take you out. He comes to a place that later he'd call Bethel, which stands for the house of God. He comes to the place, he's laying there, and he takes he goes to bed, and he's laying his head on a rock, which they call a pillar, or a pillow. And when he wakes up, he has this dream, and the Lord speaks to him in this dream. He says in Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. That is a word from the Lord to Jacob. When? When he's leaving. That is a word that's spoken into Jacob's life. When? When he is going to a new land. When he's leaving his family, God interrupts his journey and says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And listen to what it says, I will bring you back. I will bring you back to this land. What? The land that he loved, the place that he enjoyed, the home that he had there with his father and mother. It has been 20 years since Jacob had received this word from the Lord. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. Where? Over at Laban's house. It's during this time that Jacob actually matures in many ways in his life and the way he walks. Jacob, when he left there, was such a deceiver that he cheated his brother and it cost him. Esau started, but it's in this 20-year journey that Jacob started to grow and started to mature into the man that God would have him to be. It's there that he learned to be how it felt to be cheated. It's there that, you know, sometimes we need to put ourselves in someone else's shoes and realize what it feels to be there. He was no longer a mama's boy, but now was standing on his own two feet. See, oftentimes when we're even in God's community, we find that there's long-suffering in our lives. Even when God has spoken a word over us, we find that there's still long-suffering to come. Because there's moments that the word has been spoken over our lives, and it was spoken over Jacob, that Jacob was not ready to receive that word. And it's in those 20 years of long suffering that God shapes and molds him. The Bible says he is the potter and we are the clay. And many times when we get the word from God, we think it's instantly. But God says, I've got to do a little bit more molding, a little more shaping, because they are not ready. They cannot handle the word that I just spoke over their lives. I've got to shape them a little better, get them ready to where they're humble a little bit. And we know the story where Jacob got humbled when he was wrestling with the Lord, and his name was changed. I'm saying today, you may have a word that's been spoken of over you, and you think it's all blessing. But can I tell you today that God sometimes allows long suffering to come into our life, that we may be molded and shaped in who God wants us to be, so that the word of God can be fulfilled in our lives. And this is what was taking place in Jacob's life. For 20 years, you would think if you got a word from the Lord, it would be instantly filled the next day. I love it when God speaks and it happens quickly. But sometimes it takes a journey. Sometimes it takes some preparation. Sometimes it takes some difficult times in our life to get us where we need to be for that word to come to pass in our lives. And we find this with Jacob. Numbers 14:18. I'm going to tell you a little story. Why we shouldn't be afraid of long suffering in our life, and why we should receive it when we're going through it. Why should it be something that we produce in our life? I'm going to tell you the first time is this in Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long suffering. Come on, I said the Lord is long suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third, fourth generation. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some of you count slackness, but he is what? Long-suffering. Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know the nature of our God? One of the things that we find out about God, I love to say God is love. I love that he loves us regardless. He loved me when I was a sinner. He loved me now that I'm saved. His love is something that I cannot get out of. I thank God for the attributes and who he is. But one of the things I thank him for right now is the fact that he was long-suffering. That he's long-suffering. He was long-suffering when I was living like a heathen. He was long-suffering when I was living in sin. And it looked like I would never come back out of it. But my God, hallelujah, kept on sending mercy. Kept on sending people. I'm thanking God that when we say, well, I can't be long-suffering, may I say this morning that God's nature, God has been long-suffering into our lives. That he put up with us when we weren't even good enough to be put up with. And we call it, oh, God don't care. Yes, he does. Only thing we're walking in is his long suffering. And one day that suffering, that long suffering will end when we breathe our last breath, and we better be bought again by Jesus Christ. But he's long suffering. It's part of what he's given to you and me, and we are to give what God has given us. Oh, thank God. You may have somebody that's difficult in your life at the workplace or the family, but I'm going to tell you in the community of God, or even in church that you're having a hard time with, I'm going to tell you today that God says we need to produce the fruit of long suffering. We need to pray for them, not talk bad about them. We need to lift them up and believe God to do something amazing. After all, if you're born again, bought again by the blood of Jesus, you're serving God and God's changed your life, you have received long suffering. Man. I just feel like preaching and I'm about out of time. Long suffering. God has given it to our lives. We keep thinking, well, he don't care. Yes, he does. He don't care that I'm living in sin. Yes, he does. Megan, if you'll come. He don't care. Yes, he does. All you're doing is receiving the long suffering of the Lord. Many of his servants had to experience long-suffering. I didn't realize this was in my Sunday school lesson. Job and Paul and Jesus, they suffered long in their lives. John the Beloved was called to have long-suffering in his life. Can I tell you this morning, church family, in the community of God, we are told to be long-suffering. Colossians 3:12-13 says this, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Doing what? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, this is not a multiple choice. Even as Christ has forgiven you, do what? You also must do. The whole ideal here is that in the community of God, we are to be long-suffering. In the community of family, we're to be long-suffering. In the community of the world, we're to be long-suffering. Long-suffering doesn't say I'm agreeing with sin that people are in. It means I'm praying and I'm hanging in there till they get saved. Long-suffering. And you know what's sad in the world that we live in? We have no patience for anybody. If you treat me bad, well, I'm done. If the church doesn't treat me quite right, I'm done. If the preacher don't shake my hand, I'm done. I'm going to tell you, all of us have imperfections in our lives. Every one of them, including me. I have bad days every now and then. You can ask my wife in the last 37 years, almost this coming month, she's seen me have a bad day a couple of times. We all have those moments in our life that require the other person to be long-suffering. Family members will have a bad day. They require long-suffering from us. Come on, workplace. I have a bad day, or perhaps you're challenging, your boss is giving you some issues. It requires long-suffering. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what we do during that moment in our life. Jacob was long-suffering for 20 years. 20 years. I think about that. That's a long time. I've been here 17 years. And I had a young man call me last night, will you marry me tonight? And I'm thinking, I don't know who you are. And then he started explaining this. Oh, you live down the street where the white picket fence is? I remember going by there picking you up for church. He said, yes, sir, that's me. I'm also the one that sat in your service last two Wednesday nights with the sunglasses on in the cab. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm leaving on vacation. Can't marry you tonight. You need a license to do that. We're going to work on it when I get back. But I'm just saying today that some people require long-suffering. Not to kick them out or kick them to the side. You never know when that back around. For 20 years. Like I said, I've been here 17, a lot of water under the bridge. I can't remember a lot of folks that have come. That's what brought that story. But I'm going to tell you, 20 years is a long time to put up with something. Put up with a family's got issues, to put up with a workplace that got issues. And also to know that God's put a word in my life and it hadn't come to pass yet. But I want to end with this scripture. In Genesis 31, verse 3, because I want to give you hope. And I tell you, there's hope in long-suffering. There's hope in long-suffering. After the last rotten deal that Laban gave to Jacob, when God helped Jacob to be paid, can I tell you, there's a story there in itself. God will take care of you. God will bring the reward back if you will be long-suffering. Jacob left there blessed. He left there with more than he brought because God's seen it. He's seen the long suffering, and I'm going to tell you there's a reward in hanging in there. There's a reward, but also there becomes a release. And in Genesis 31, after Laban tried to take back the deal of the sheep and the goats and the rams and all those things and saying that was his, the Lord says to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will. You know what I see there at that moment in that long suffering of 20 years? I see a release that God brought into Jacob's life. There was a release of the environment of the situation that was happening. There was a release from that workplace. There's a place that God says, it's time to go. If you're long suffering this morning, I want you to understand something. that God has a release in your future when you let this fruit be part of your life. There's a release that's coming. I can tell you times in my life that God said it's time to leave. It's time to get out of that situation. And God brings that release into that moment of your life. But here's the key thing. I've always said if you want a godly response, you must act godly. And long-suffering is acting godly. How I know that? Because we just read the scripture that says our God is long-suffering. So I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know what your situation is. I want to encourage you. Oh, let it come out. Let it be produced. Because we're called, as Christians, we're called to produce long-suffering in our life. Every head bowed just for a moment. Won't keep you much longer. My first prayer request to you, or prayer opportunity. If you're here this morning, and you are wayward from God, and you realize that God's long-suffering may end in your life, and you want to get things right with God this morning, I ask you to raise your hand because God is speaking to you this morning and it's time to get things right. It's time. God's been long-suffering with you so that you would keep your life where it needs to be to get right with God. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand because I want to give you an opportunity to get things right with the Lord. Who would say this morning, Pastor Billy, I've been long-suffering. I've been going through difficult times in my life. And I need God just to give me the strength to continue until He releases me out of that. Would you raise your hand this morning and say, that's me. Amen. Anybody else? Say, I've just got a situation. I got a word for you this morning. Hang in there. God has been with you. God is seeing it, and God opens and closes doors. Listen to His voice. Just as clear as He said to Jacob, He will say to you, it's time. The release is in your life. It's time. May that be a word for you this morning that raised your hand. Stay true to Him. Let the fruit of long-suffering be in your life and believe that your God